You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Will Smith with you on the latest edition, looking ahead to Tuesday's action. It's going to be a bit of a bumper podcast as well, because we've got so much to look back on from a busy weekend of racing. First things first, Will, how's things?
All good, thank you. All good. Good to be back here and talking about jumps racing again. It's been, seems like it's been a long summer really to... I mean, I like the flat stuff myself, but I'm much more of a jumps man, so it's nice to be talking about some proper jumps racing. And we need a bit more rain, don't we? We need some precipitation for some of the better horses to come out and show themselves.
We do. There's some good jumpers just waiting to be unleashed.
There are.
We're going to start this podcast by talking about a flat horse, Enable.
Yeah.
Of course, that was this morning as we record this. She is going to be staying in training next year and bidding for a third arc, which is great news, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Khalid Abdullah, Prince Khalid Abdullah, is an incredibly sporting owner. I mean, he's been in the game for that many years and has had so many good horses throughout those years. And he, you know, he knows the sport and he knows what people want, I guess, for want of a better phrase. Obviously, she could be whisked off to the breeding sheds very quickly. She'd be incredibly... sought after and lucrative in that particular sphere, but clearly the prince has decided to have another go at a third arc, which would be unprecedented. It would be again another incredible feat of training from John Gosden. Were he able to do it, obviously to get Enable back into the form that she was in to win the arc this time around was probably one of his greatest training feats, really, considering where she was only a couple of months previous to it.
Yeah.
Off the back of one run in a all-weather listed race at Kempton to then go and win an arc was nothing short of phenomenal, really.
No, that is true. And it'll be interesting to see what sort of route they go down next year, really, if she is fit throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, given that that will be her main target, you won't imagine that they'll pitch her too high too soon. They'll want to build her up gradually and sort of get her into that particular form. This season was very much a case of their hand was forced. I mean, they had to go that way because of the injury that she had, and apparently she wasn't, you know, up until the arc, John had missed a few pieces of work with her. He wasn't 100%. Completely happy with her preparation for the arc, which just goes to show, you know, what a genius he is, but equally what a good horse she is.
And it's good to see her back, or will be good to see her back on the racecourse again next year. You mentioned some jumpers. We're going to go through the Monday jury, once again stolen shamelessly from the Racing Post. We start with Baron Alco, who made all to win the big race, the Bet Victor Gold Cup on Saturday. The question, quite simply, how high do you think he can climb this season?
It's a good question. I mean, he won very, very easily in the end, didn't he? And he was a long way clear with Frodon of the third horse. Now, a lot of that was down to the carnage that was happening in behind, because there were fallers and horses brought down and all kinds of shenanigans.
I think there were only six finishes in there.
There were, which is incredible. obviously, got into such a lovely rhythm on the front end. Cheltenham, the old course, seems to suit him pretty well in that respect. He obviously has been very, very lightly raced in recent years. Had a good reappearance second at Chepstow behind Charbel, and his previous race was 18 months or so before that, when second in the Burn Group Plate to Road to Respect, which was obviously a decent run in its own right. And obviously the 2.5 miles around there, he's already running a couple of novice races previous to that. It suits him really well, so you'd imagine. All the kind of races around that trip around Cheltenham, I mean, that's the old course done with until the first day of the festival. Now we're obviously on the new course for December and January, I think. So whether the new course suits him as well remains to be seen. That's a bit more of a staying test, and you tend to find horses that go from the front like him, they're often claimed later on.
Well, it's interesting, Josh Moore in the Monday jury, who obviously knows the horse better than most, suggests that though he's small, he could be, and his quote is, made for entry at some stage over the national fences.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, so bold jumping as well, so the Grand Sefton and the top, and obviously the Grand Sefton, the entries are already out, so he wouldn't, I presume he's not actually in that race. Maybe the Topham at the Grand National meeting, that would be something they go, or they could go for, you know, the plate again at the festival.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if he improves again and he wins another race, then he might have to think about the Ryanair itself, which I think when he was a younger horse, they were hoping he might be sort of listed, graded class.
Yeah.
I mean, his third start was in the Grade 1 Future Champions Juvenile race at Chepstow, won by Bristol Demai. So, you know, they see him as that good a horse. He's obviously had a couple of problems in between, but he... hopefully they have a clear run with him and they can see where they can take him.
Next question. Are Rock the Casbah and Ibis de Roy genuine Grand National contenders?
I think Rock the Casbah probably more so. Ibis de Roy has been fairly lightly raced and probably a little bit too soon for him in terms of his Grand National prospects, I would say. Mm. I mean, he only won a novice chase, obviously, on Saturday, wasn't it? And he'd only had 7 chase starts up until that point. He'd run in some decent handicaps, but that was his first real showing of note for a while. But Rock the Casbah has been a pretty hard-knocking handicapper for a few years now. Again, lightly raced, but he seems to be very good fresh, so they keep him fresh. And he ran a cracker when second at Sandown in what was the old Whitbread there back in April. Admittedly beaten into a different parish by Step Back, but he beat the rest, Present Man included, who won the Badger Ales
last weekend.
He was back in third, so that's good form. And then he just looked like he was a bit of a different horse, really, at Cheltenham. He travelled well within himself over the 3.5 miles there, and I think he's probably more the grizzled type that you might need for a Grand National. That said, though, I wouldn't be backing him right now. He doesn't strike as the one for me just yet. Not that there is anyone just yet.
I was going to say, what about Tiger Roll? Because, of course, he made his comeback on Friday in the cross-country race. And I think the general consensus is quite a pleasing reappearance.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon Elliott would never, ever, ever have him cherry ripe at this stage of the year. There'd just be no point whatsoever. The cross-country on Friday was worth 15 grand to the winner. Why get your horse absolutely cherry ripe for that particular assignment when you've got however much the cross-country chase at the festival, and then the Grand National is obviously worth, you know, hundreds of thousands to the winner. So
it's like getting yourself all nice and dressed up on a Monday afternoon.
That's it, which I do like to do every now and again, but I'll get even more dressed up on the weekend. So no, look, it will be, you know, 2 or 3 runs and then back for the cross-country chase in March and the Grand National, and that will be the way they go. And I'd imagine he probably won't win a race until that cross-country back at the festival.
From grizzled staying chasers to novice chasers, was there anything that caught your eye over the week? Well, there will have been, but I'd imagine we're going to talk about Lawler here.
Yes, without a shadow of a doubt. I thought he was imperious in what was obviously the best Arkle trial so far. I mean, it was named the Arkle trial, so it invariably was. Not much has come out. Obviously, Kalashnikov ran at Warwick a couple of weeks ago, and he was good, he was okay, but he beat the horses that he should have beaten. Whereas Lawler, you know, obviously had 4 very creditable rivals in the shape of Claim and Taken Forward, Dynamite Dollars, Pingshoe and Defi de Soy. They're all very, very good, solid 150 rated horses, and he beat them senseless.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he travelled, he jumped, and then he stayed on incredibly strongly up the hill at a course where, you know, they probably had slight doubts as to a suitability for Cheltenham, considering. I mean, he'd run there once previously when second behind Western Rider in a novice race last December, but he'd shown a liking for flatter tracks. Obviously, he won he's won two graded races at Aintree, so the fact that he handled the old course at Cheltenham so well, which is the course the Arkell is run on, to me, the early quotes that he was given straight away after the race of 10-1 for the Arkell was, I didn't move quick enough. I should have thought. I instantly in my head I thought 10-1. That's a huge price. Mm. About, you know, a horse who has beaten some good rivals and looks as if he's going to take much higher order as a chaser.
Okay. Do you think, I was listening to a watching interview with Kayleigh Woolacott saying that this was almost, their hand was forced. She would have liked to have had a nicer introduction to chasing.
Yeah.
But pitched in at the deep end, he's just excelled, hasn't he?
Yeah, which I think there was a quote afterwards from her saying that, well, maybe this has taught us that actually we can be pretty brave. Every now and again we can actually grasp the nettle and say, well, yes, he's a good horse. Let's give him a test. See what he can do. And you know, as the months go on towards the festival, there'll be all kinds of different routes taken by different trainers. And essentially, it's all about getting your horse to that second Tuesday in March in tip-top fashion. Now, if it means giving them a few confidence boosters to do it, if it means giving them 5 hard races, then you do that.
It's 6-1 now, by the way, for the Arkell.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit short now.
Yeah.
Given that there'll be, you know, a whole host. I mean, Willie Mullins will I'm sure, have a few that will pop out of the woodwork. Some of his good 2-mile hurdlers. I mean, you see the likes of a horse like Footpad, who was below top class over hurdles. Suddenly he burst onto the scene and became the next best 2-mile chaser. So there will be, you know, horses that, similar to Lawler, really, that were just bubbling under, that will suddenly be met with a fence and they'll take much higher order. So at 6-1, I wouldn't be falling over myself to back it. But if you're on at 10-1, or, you know, if you're on slightly before, I think it was 33-1 or so before Sunday, then well played.
Yeah. We had good racing over in Ireland as well. Was the Morgiana hurdle Charger's moment in the sun, or is there more to come?
I think, he's had two moments in the sun, hasn't he? Because he won the Galway hurdle, which is no mean feat, really. He was going to win the Grade 1 at Leopardstown at Christmas time as well, wasn't he, last year, when he came down in that slightly bizarre race where Real Steel fell at the last and Lingley Khan ran out and he was left to Whiskey Sour to come and pick up the pieces. He's been a funny horse to catch, right, Charger, really, because the Galway hurdle came something of a surprise, and then he's been disappointing really on the flat since then. Was probably disappointing behind Bedrock and Sam Crow at Down Royal in the Grade 2 hurdle there, and then all of a sudden he comes out and does this. But I think you could take this form with a pinch of salt. Forheen obviously he's not the horse he was in terms of the pace that he can show over 2 miles, and perhaps he wasn't as fit as he was for the race last year. And then, with all due respect to Wicklow Brave and Tombstone, they're not very well, they're good horses, but they're not absolute top class. I wouldn't go falling over myself to back Charger for anything just yet. I certainly don't think he's champion hurdle class.
No. Okay. And final question. Which other horses stood out over the weekend with a view to the future? If I was to pin you down to one, Will?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, to be fair, if I was to pin you down to one, it might be Layla.
Yeah, it'd be Layla.
Lawler. I always get that wrong. We were discussing this before the podcast, and I thought I managed to go through it and call it the right thing. Lawler.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think Lawler or Malone Road, the horse that won the bumper at Punchestown on Sunday for Gordon Elliott and Cheveley Park Stud, had a very, very impressive bumper victory before that, and he was faced with a very, very good rival in Mount Leinster, a horse from Willie Mullins' stable. And the burst of acceleration he showed in the straight at Punchestown was incredibly notable. He's flatbred, he's by Kalanisi, he's going to go straight to the champion bumper. He looked very, very, very good.
Okay, so eyes peeled already for Cheltenham. It's only November.
Yeah, I know.
But we are looking ahead to it already. We're also going to look ahead to two races tomorrow. Which two have you come down? Because I asked you to look at two and you found it a little difficult. It's not the easiest punting day, is it, tomorrow?
No, Tuesday's tricky. Southall have got some good cards, but I found it tricky to find something there. It's Fakenham where I go. Always wanted to go to Norfolk. I've never been that as much as I'd quite like. And it's actually 2-3 runner races that I'm going to go in. So I've kept things simple.
Yeah.
I've gone for the 130, which is a mare's staying handicap chase, which only has the three runners. It's got Lillian, Seamus Mullins horse at top of the weights, Dorney River, who was a last time out winner 4 days ago in a what was an equally small field race. But it's the one in between them, Sweet Destination, who was an Irish raider for Garrett Ahern, who won at Plumpton 2 weeks ago, when absolutely taking the race apart on that occasion and smacked of being an incredibly well handicapped horse over here. That was off a mark of 96, which was a couple of pounds higher than what she was over in Ireland. She's been given £10 by the UK assessor, mm-hmm. Which I think is pretty lenient, actually, on the yeah. on the manner of her success. Now, one of her rivals in that Plumpton race came down, horse of Tim Vaughan's, which probably made things slightly easier, but she beat the rest, you know, incredibly easily. And I think she's probably still a couple of steps ahead of the assessor and, you know, has two rivals who I think she's probably slightly better handicapped than both of them.
Okay, and Danny Mullins comes over once again to take the ride.
Yes.
Which could be a tip in itself, I suppose. He obviously gets on well with the horse. But, yeah. Okay, so that's in the 130 and could form leg one of a double. Leg two is at 3 o'clock.
Yes, it is. Let's hope so. Again, an equally small field race, three runners in it. It's a extended two mile handicap chase. Darabin was a last time out winner for Gary Moore. Though it was incredibly hard work to get that win, and he's often been a horse that's been hard to win with and, mm-hmm. and catch right. Master of Finance wears the first time visor for Lucy Wadham, has been slightly disappointing, though she does have a good record at Fakenham, but it's the top one on top of the world for Peter Bowen, who invariably through the summer months and early autumn he makes hay while the sun shines. And this one rattled up a hat trick back in September and October. Now he's been beaten twice since, but I think he's been beaten by horses that have been on the right side of the assessor. Now he's on a mark £3 higher than what he last won off. But it's more the fact that he has a very, very winnable opportunity for a horse that goes from the front as well. So Fakenham will suit whizzing round those bends. And he just looks like he's been found a really nice opportunity by Peter Bowen again.
There you go then. On a difficult punting day, two for you, maybe to put in a double, at Fakenham in the 1:30 and 3 o'clock. Thank you very much, Will.
Cheers.
And make sure you tune in as well to the Racing Podcast through the course of the week. Of course, Betfair Chase coming up over the weekends, and we'll be having plenty more build-up to the big one.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.